welcomes you welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives a cup of cold water to one of the little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. The Gospel of Christ.
So as I was saying at the beginning of our service today, we have the privilege of having the Reverend Deborah Moyle from Threshold Ministries to speak to us, and it's related in some way to the work that some of you are involved in on a weekly basis here, the work of Street Hope here in Victoria. And we have a tradition that ministries that we're supporting and that we're involved with, sometimes we invite one of the people associated with those ministries to come and speak to us. So, Deborah, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. And thank you for all your support. And I've got some announcements to make as well during the announcement time. Let's pray. May I speak and may we all hear in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So our gospel passage this morning concludes chapter 10 and Jesus's mission discourse. At the end of chapter 9 and the start of chapter 10, we reach a pivotal point in Jesus's ministry in Matthew's Gospel, as Jesus commissions his disciples to share and actively participate in the bringing of the kingdom of heaven. They were now to share in preaching the good news, the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and disease among the people. They were now to have compassion on the lost, harassed and helpless, and to freely give the kingdom of God, just as Jesus had freely given it to them. And as they go and do this, Jesus tells them what they can expect. They can expect people to extend hospitality to them. There will be people who will receive them and the kingdom and who will work with them to bless and bring peace to their communities, just as Jesus himself has encountered. And then they can also expect persecution and hostility, because Jesus himself has and will be persecuted. However, in all these things, even in uncomfortable and dangerous moments, they are to speak and act as Jesus does. Jesus encourages them to remember just how precious and loved they are by the Father. He continues throughout chapter 10 to talk about the cost of being his disciple, that it means that we are to decenter ourselves and to center him as our highest priority, even if it costs us family, friends, status, honor. And having instructed his disciples on the practicalities and what to expect as his followers, joining in with God's mission, Jesus ends this teaching on receiving, and specifically those who will be receiving them, his sent ones. And so what does it mean to receive one of Jesus's followers? What does it mean to be received? Jesus says in verse 40, Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. We see a kind of chain of representation here. In the first century, an ambassador, a sent one, was commissioned with the full authority to carry the message of the one who sent them to another party. Whoever, say, received the messenger of a king also received the king. That is the logic he's using. And so Jesus calls, commissions, and sends. Whoever receives those he has sent also receives him. And what's more, receives the one who sent Jesus. And we know from his baptism and further on in chapter 11, it is God the Father who has sent Jesus. And the word receive here refers to welcoming and offering hospitality and support. And underlying this welcome is usually a positive attitude or an acceptance of the message being brought. Jesus is saying whoever receives a disciple of his also receives God. I think that's truly incredible and like an astounding when you sit with it. Anyone who welcomes you because you are a follower of Jesus also welcomes God. And I know there are some people in the world with maybe a bit of a God complex, but maybe even at our most prideful here, we probably would never be so bold to assert that. So that is what Jesus is encouraging and challenging his disciples with. Through his life, death, and resurrection and ascension, Jesus has so unified us to himself. Our life is bound to his, so much so that anyone who welcomes you as a follower of Jesus welcomes him. Welcomes God into their midst, into their home. It is as if they were offering hospitality to Jesus himself. If they are accepting us and the message we bring, they are welcoming the kingdom of heaven that has come near in Jesus. But we see then the inverse is also true. We've seen earlier in chapter 10, those who reject you, who do not receive you or welcome you as a follower of Jesus, also reject the one who sends you. And this is something that would always continue to strike me when I was on Pandora on a Tuesday evening. And for those of you who volunteer with Street Hope Victoria, I'm sure it strikes you too. The welcome that people who are living their life on and around Pandora give is incredible. Many know that the team, that we are Christians, and have welcomed us as such. It reminds me of when Jesus said to his disciples, "But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear." Jesus says the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And I know Street Hope Victoria encounters people every time they go out who are close to the kingdom of heaven, welcoming Jesus with eyes to see and ears to hear what God is doing in their midst. Because they are welcoming the team who they know are Christians. The kingdom of heaven is coming near and working itself out in and through you, through the team, through you as Christians, not just because you are bringing Jesus, but because people are also welcoming you in his name. We see here, I think in Street Hope Victoria, not only the outworking of the team's faith, but also the outworking of the faith of the people receiving and welcoming them. An encouragement, definitely. What a gift to bear Jesus to people, but also a challenge. At the beginning of chapter 9, Jesus tells his disciples to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out more workers, because there are few, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. We may be one of the only people who represent Jesus to people in our families, our work, our social circle. And do people see Jesus when they look at us? Do they see what Jesus does and what he says? When they look at the church as a whole here in Victoria? When we are welcomed into the places people live and work, socialise, maybe just exist? Do they experience the good news of Jesus that we carry? And I don't think this is meant to be a kind of a performance pressure thing. The ambassador carries the king's authority because they are commissioned, not because they are impressive. And Jesus calls and commissions us as disciples to follow him and participate in the building of his kingdom, knowing our flaws and our gifts. It is ultimately, we know, his work, not ours. And yet part of faithfulness to Jesus is to consciously choose, isn't it, each day to live the way of him, to allow the Holy Spirit to guide and shape us more into his likeness, to participate in bringing his kingdom here on earth, to, I think, freely proclaim that God has come near in Jesus, to freely pray and care for those who are vulnerable, struggling or ill, to freely build peace and bless our communities, and to search for those who will work with us. We are reminded here in this passage, not just that we are called to go, but we are also called to receive, to practice hospitality, to receive and welcome our brothers and sisters, because in doing so, we welcome the Lord. In verse 41, we hear Jesus using, to my ears, it was some slightly like odd phrasing. He says, "One who welcomes the prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and one who welcomes a righteous person because they are a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward." We see this isn't just generic hospitality. This is, again, welcome because they are a prophet or a righteous person. That is, they are being welcomed because of the message they carry and the good news they are bringing. And who is the prophet and the righteous person? We know a prophet is one who carries God's message, which is what the disciples were instructed to do. And a righteous person is also, like a prophet, a disciple of Jesus. Righteous not because of their own merit, but because of Jesus. And Jesus doesn't tell us here what the reward is, but he does promise there is one. And the one who hosts and receives, as well as the one who is sent out, the prophet and the righteous person, all seem to receive the same reward. For they both accepted Jesus and the one who sent them. And we then come to the end of our passage this morning, verse 42. Jesus says, "Whoever gives one of these little ones a cup of water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward." Jesus has talked about a prophet, a righteous person, people maybe with some sort of perceived status or standing. And now he talks about little ones. And this doesn't only include children, although it does include them, but anyone who is maybe considered maybe of low status within society. Maybe someone you wouldn't think that much of, doesn't sound or look particularly impressive. And again, the hospitality is specific to the fact that this little one, this person, is a disciple of Jesus. A cup of cold water doesn't sound that impressive either, and that's the point. You don't have to have a lot. This doesn't have to be over-the-top impressive hospitality. You don't have to have your house cleaned from top to bottom, but it is the welcome of everyday life, the living of life alongside people, that slow and steady sharing of the good news of Jesus, and also that slow and steady sharing of welcoming people, including them in your life, as they see and experience Jesus more and more. But it is generous hospitality by Jesus we see, that the door is wide open, that even those who welcome us because we are followers of Jesus, even the tiniest amount, like that cup of cold water, will by no means lose their reward. So three times Jesus here has promised a reward for those who welcome his disciples and so welcome him. And three times he leaves it undefined. I think Matthew tells us what the reward is later. In chapter 25, Jesus paints the scene of the final judgment. And the reward is finally named. To those who fed the hungry, welcomed the stranger, cared for the least of these, the king says, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." That is the reward held out here. Life with Jesus in the kingdom of God. And so what does it mean to receive one of Jesus's followers, to be received? It means that God has bound himself to his people, not because of anything we've done, but through Jesus's death and resurrection so closely that even the smallest welcome, a cup of cold water, given to the least impressive disciple because they belong to Jesus, is a welcome of God himself. And to all who are his, he gives the kingdom, life with Jesus, life in and with Jesus. And we see nothing done for one of his followers, however small, is ever lost. So may we go in his name, and may we receive in his name. For in the going and in the welcoming alike, we are bearing Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Debs.